I just got a text from my mom about somebody's kid. Cool.
Nice.
Somebody had a baby. William Tyler Glenn arrived weighing in at 7 pounds, 12 ounces, and 19 inches.
Very average baby. Not that newsworthy.
Not that newsworthy.
Thanks, Mom.
She's just trying to make me feel bad for not having even any kind of baby, average or otherwise.
That is true. That's what moms do.
Very subtly, just being like, Jay, you could have a baby that's way better than this if you put your mind to it. Gosh darn it. All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Blockbusting, the podcast where we love to hate the movies. I'm your host, Jay Light. Joining me today in the beautiful Elon Alumni Center.
The second home, Danny Sellers.
Danny Sellers. Hi, Danny.
What's up, man?
It's good to see you. It's been a minute.
Yeah.
When was the last time? Was that at open mic at the Offbeat?
I'm pretty sure that was the last time I saw you.
Oh, my God. And then you posted about how open mics in LA suck. And then I went off on a little tirade.
Yeah, that was great. I think the streets needed that, though.
I think they did, too.
I'm happy you ran with it because I don't think I deserved to talk shit about it yet because I've only been here like 4 months. But coming from you, I think it was well received.
I think I appreciate that. And I think that like the fact that you and other comics who have recently moved here saw that and had been feeling that allowed me to be like, okay, come on, guys. If this is what our scene looks like to people who just got here to like try and really pursue it and make a thing out of it, we got to fucking do better.
Right.
It's been a long time coming. But now you're here to talk about a movie that you hate.
Oh, yeah.
We finally come. This is officially like Elon alumni coming full circle. Like we've talked about comedy stuff.
Yes.
Now you're on my podcast. Oh, my God.
It's a great network.
It's a great network.
Very, very exclusive network, yeah.
This is not supposed to be a commercial for Elon University, I swear to you.
Apply now.
Apply now, elon.edu/admissions. I did used to work in admissions.
Really?
I was a tour guide.
Oh, yeah. You walked backwards for like miles and miles.
Oh, dude. I was so good at walking backwards. I loved it. I the first time I ever gave a tour, I was like, oh, yeah, this is it. But then they got mad at people for doing joke tours.
Because, oh, really?
Yeah, well, because you come up with lines that you say that are going to get a laugh in different places, right? And they, I think it was my senior year, they sent out an email that was like, nobody should be doing tours where they're like, this is the fun tour. Don't do that.
Why not?
I don't know.
This is the boring tour. This is where all the racist frats are. And here's where all the black people sit during lunch.
No, we're not supposed to say that because that would be
the real tour.
The real tour. We have to give the fake polished tour. So you have a movie that you want to talk about that I saw earlier this year.
Yeah.
I can't say I loved it. I appreciated it. But I want to hear what you have to say about it most of all, which is the ninth film in the Fast Furious franchise. Actually, I guess the 10th if you count Hobbs and Shaw, but this one's F9, the main timeline.
F9, wild, wild movie. I watched it maybe 3-4 weeks after it came out. Long story short, whatever we say here, it feels like the worst part of the Marvel movies without the superheroes.
Yeah.
Like any more the action in the Marvel movies, like, oh, this is action. Oh, they're superheroes. They're killing each other. But then, like, there's just regular, just 50-year-olds fighting.
Yeah.
And it's like, not realistic. At least, like, in the Marvel movies, you know, like, okay, even if someone doesn't have necessary superpowers, they're kind of expected to have some level of superhuman kind of. It's a comic book, so
right.
It's fine.
Yeah.
But Vin Diesel jumping between tanks and, like, Ludacris going to space, it's. We can get into it later.
Well, especially, because there's a whole lot of, at this point in the franchise, the movies have really become, I would say, kind of comic booky, but in the ways that are the ways that I don't like about the Marvel movies.
Right.
But I kind of buy it in the Fast and Furious franchise because it is so over the top and ridiculous, but it's all these relatively normal people.
Right. Yeah. Then the whole progression of what is it? Dom Toretto.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. The fact that
Dom Toretto, man,
he like all of a sudden is like this highly skilled hand to hand combat dude. He's like, bro,
it should not be that guy.
How? Like, maybe he's a decent fighter. Sure. But he's going hand-to-hand combat with The Rock's character. It's like he's probably some kind of Green Beret, and this random just dude that killed a guy once is all of a sudden a fucking jiu-jitsu master. I don't believe it.
I think that I hadn't – have you been a big fan of the Fast Furious franchise?
Yeah, I used to
You watched it over the years?
I used to love it. Think about – we forget the Fast and Furious used to be about cars.
Yes.
So it used to be like, oh, like previewing the nice, cool, like they'd always have some old school cars. Oh, that's really dope. And then like the nice new shit that's like, oh, that's fire. Like, or used to like the Supra from back in the day or whatever. Oh, this is like a dope new car that's coming out, or like a cool, like resto mod of a car. So I used to love the Fast and Furious movies.
But it's not even about cars anymore.
No, it's about space and fucking.
It's about Tyrese complaining.
Right, right.
Dude.
Every movie is him just complaining, like, well, all right, Tyrese, I guess.
Tyrese has complained so much in real life about the Fast and Furious franchise that they just let him complain the entire time as his character.
Yeah, Tyrese is Tyrese in that movie.
Yeah, he's just Tyrese.
Yeah.
I met Tyrese once.
Really?
Yeah.
Was he complaining?
He was complaining. He was complaining, but he was also talking. He was in a very, like heady creative space.
Uh-huh.
It was for like the Sprite Coca-Cola refreshing films stuff.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he was like, we were in Las Vegas, and he met us in a hotel room that the Coca-Cola company had paid for him to come and hang out with us. And he was saying stuff like, you know, the world is just a canvas on which you can think new thoughts. And I was just like eating it up because I was like, oh, cool. That's a movie star is saying these things about art. But he also clearly did not want to be hanging out with us. He was doing it because
premise,
he had to.
The premise was just for him to kick it with y'all. Like, yeah. There's no other.
Yeah, that was it.
That's so strange.
He was because he got big back in the day when he was in a Coke commercial.
Really?
So I think they pulled that string. They're like, come on, come hang out, Tyrese. Come teach these kids. And I was the youngest one there. Everybody else was like grad students at film schools. Uh-huh. And they were all like, this guy's just full of shit.
Right.
He's just saying stuff that like he thinks is going to trick the young kids like me.
Yeah.
But we're all like 30-something people at UCLA grad school. We don't care what this guy
student
has to
loan
say.
Debt. Yeah. And shit like that. We got to pay rent tomorrow.
If he had been complaining more, he probably would have gotten them on board.
Right.
He should have told us about how shitty the industry was.
Right. Well, okay, Tyrese, thank you so much.
Yeah. That's I so would have appreciated that.
And I love baby boy, too. Thank you.
But Tyrese is complaining in this movie. Ludacris and him go to space.
Yes.
The whole plot of this movie is that all of a sudden, Dom Toretto has had a brother.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Who we never heard of, never seen, played by John Cena. Charlize Theron still shows up after her like supervillain role in Fast 8. What was that one? Fate of the Furious.
Something. I've lost track. Honestly, after the Tokyo Drift, I lost track of every single movie. They're all the same movie from 4 to 8. It's the same movie, I feel like. And I just watched the recap.
So you, but you know, you've lost track of these movies. Why did you decide, all right, Fast 9, I'm jumping back in?
I've watched all of them, so I have watched all of them. I think what I was hopeful that it was going to be better.
Sure.
And I do like action movies in general. Yeah. So I didn't rush to watch it. I was like, let me just take a little, you know, I'm not thirsty to watch it. So I just wanted to see cars. I wanted to see action.
Mm-hmm.
And I was hoping that there was going to be some level of like real plot and like them pulling on our heartstrings for it to be.
Oh, that's high hopes for the Fast and Furious franchise at all.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like.
No, it was extremely.
Not every movie can be made after Paul Walker dies and they have a very sad song over the credits.
I also thought maybe that him leaving, they would be a little bit more dramatic and not just shallow, let's explode a bunch of cars and shit like that, but obviously it wasn't. So yeah, it was all of those things combined. We're like, let me just watch this shit, but
And did you see it? You saw it not in theaters. You got it on VOD. You saw it at the house. And do you feel like there's still enough action in there for it to have stoked that action like thing that you want to see out of action movies?
Yeah, of course, at times there's always going to be some kind of chase. I think this one had the big magnet chase where there was moving cars back and forth.
Yeah,
but like
this one had the vine too. That was pretty good where they're driving through the jungle. But also, why are they in the jungle in the first place?
Right, just randomly in the jungle I'm getting fucking pissed off talking about it. Yeah, so there was action parts, sure. Mm-hmm. But it's just so unrealistic. It's like, oh, this is kind of fun. And then all of a sudden you see the undercarriage of a charger get hooked by a vine and it sweeps thousands of feet perfectly. It's just like, okay, y'all, did y'all really need that last 5 seconds? No. So to answer your question, yes, it definitely did a lot for action.
But all of the other stuff within it, it's not doing it for you.
No. Like, I think good action movies have the action, the like surface level explosions, but also some kind of underlying plot that makes you want to watch it from end to end. And they try to do that with the introducing John Cena's character, whatever the fuck his name is.
But looking up to make sure I get whichever Toretto brother that guy's name is.
Right, yeah. But it's like, first of all, they don't look alike. He's got this random white brother, and I don't know what Vin Diesel is.
Diesel's something.
He's everybody. Him and The Rock, I feel like, are closer related than John Cena. But they're never even hinted at him having a brother for 10, 15 years. So they tried to make that a thing and like, oh, his father died and all this kind of shit. But it was introduced so late that I don't feel like it really pulled on any heartstrings to make an actual.
Yeah. All of the stuff, especially because there's so many flashbacks in this movie where it's all, and it's not even flashbacks of like the entirety of his childhood, really. It's mostly flashbacks of just one event, which is the dad dying in the race.
Right.
And Dom and Jacob, spelled J-A-K-O-B, Toretto, because we got to make sure he feels a little bit different. We're going to lean into him being like some kind of weird Eastern European white guy as much as we can. Right.
When he's really just from Massachusetts.
Yeah. But they, so that's really the only flashbacks that you get. And they're not really that heartstring tugging.
No. It's just, he killed his dad on accident, and then all of a sudden he becomes a spy that also is really good at Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
Yeah. there's a lot of stuff that happens in this movie that, like, also, given what I was hoping was going to happen watching Fate of the Furious. There's so many movies. I can't even remember the names of these movies anymore.
You just got to say 1 through 9. Just say the number.
Number 8 was I had stopped watching them after Tokyo Drift.
Yeah.
And the only one I watched until then was 8.
Okay.
And 8, I was like, this is fun. Because that had all of the bonkers cast in there.
Right.
And I think it was so over the top that I was like, all right. Like, if you can convince Academy Award winning actress Charlize Theron to star in your crazy action movie and really chew the scenery and be like a great supervillain.
Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah. Wonderful. But then instead in this movie, they put her just in a cage the entire time.
Yeah, what was that about? I was so confused. Like, what's the point of her being here?
I don't know. I feel like she only was probably available for like 2 days out of the shoot. And then this is like, okay, we have to rewrite your whole part in the script. Right. Let's figure out what to do with you. All right, we're going to put you in a cage. Is that cool?
You're a prisoner of war. And you have 4 lines. Thank you.
But you still have somehow a whole big, like, you still don't know everything that's going on. You're still pulling all the strings somehow. I was really sad that that Helen Mirren wasn't in this movie more. Also,
Which one is that?
She was the old British lady.
Oh, yeah.
She's what's the guy's name? Jason Statham's mom. Yeah.
Yes.
But that's the thing. Where's Jason Statham in this movie? Where's The Rock in this movie? They're not here.
I did like Hobbs and Shaw. So that's the thing. I enjoyed Hobbs and Shaw because they're both supposed to be two world-class killers or whatever.
Right.
So them doing wild shit, it's like, okay, I can kind of get with it.
Because
they're trained and I can kind of get my mind into that kind of thing.
Sure.
But I just don't believe Vin Diesel is a fighter like that.
No, I don't believe it. Dominic Toretto's not that kind of a guy.
And we've seen all these movies where he just comes from this like regular mechanic. He goes from a mechanic to a world-class Navy SEAL, like Green Beret. Like, what the fuck?
Dude, he should not be, if anything, like the part at the very beginning where he's like a survivalist in the woods alone, very far away from everybody else with Michelle Rodriguez. That makes sense because, yeah, I feel like after everything he's been through, he would want to hang up his hat and hang up his Green Beret that he is honorary guy.
Did he get his honorary degree?
And just hide in the woods.
Yeah.
And he should not be, honestly, Vin Diesel should not be in these movies anymore.
No.
They should retire his character.
Because he's honestly, I think everyone else, the Tyreses and the Ludacrises, they're so comical and like obviously they don't take they're in the plot as like funny devices.
Right.
So when you're watching it, you don't get as frustrated except when they're in space.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Dom's character is so serious that it's like, all right, why is he so serious? In real life, you'd be working at a Jiffy Lube. And, you know, teaching Brazilian jiu-jitsu classes on the weekends. Now all of a sudden you're a fucking U.S. spy.
Yeah, he's going to be a guy who, like, he bought a denim gi.
Right.
Just because, like, he wanted to feel a little bit cooler than what the stock stuff they had at the UFC warehouse was.
Exactly. Definitely is, like, hogging the punching bag at the gym for a little bit too long.
Yeah.
So there's a 45-minute limit on the bag.
For sure. Like, he's the kind of guy in class who, like, if you tap out, you're going to have to tap out, like, five times before he actually lets you go. Yeah,
he might kill you.
He might kill you.
Right.
You might lose. You might have brain damage because of what Dom Toretto should be like.
Yeah, this is his fourth gym. So he's been kicked out of three other gyms.
He's changed his name four times. He's been run out of three different towns all across the United States.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff in this movie. And they also try and do the, they're trying to tie back stuff to other franchise, signposts, which this is something that I learned in this movie, is that the timeline of the actual Fast and Furious franchise is really weird and out of whack.
Yeah, yeah. It's like Tokyo Drift out of order.
Tokyo Drift is supposed to be like fifth chronologically, I think. And all of the stuff, I feel so bad for what happened to all of the Tokyo Drift characters in this movie.
Yeah.
Because, like, you got Lucas Black in here, who basically is just, like, has become a country bumpkin in, where was it, Denmark or some shit like that?
Yeah, something like
with
that.
With the rocket car.
Him and Little Bow Wow, arguing about a rocket car.
Why did you put them in this role? They could have done so much better.
Yeah. And they had a whole movie. They were part of a whole movie, and they've been reduced to, like, making a spaceship pretty much that barely works.
Yeah. They're shitty Elon Musk.
Yeah, right.
They're not even, nobody wants to hang out with them. Nobody likes them. Then you've got Han Lu comes back in this movie.
Yeah.
Who died in Tokyo Drift allegedly, but then they did reshoots and showed that he actually survived. Yeah. This movie just really does not make, the more I talk about it, like all of the parts that I liked watching the movie, because again, I'll say this. I didn't like this movie for it being a good movie. I liked it because it was over the top and ridiculous.
Right.
But now that I'm talking about it even more with you, I'm like, oh, you can't really just use something being over the top as an excuse to not have stuff make sense.
Right. I think probably what people like, a lot of the Star Wars movies or some other movies that have been a lot of movies in the actual like series, is that a lot of these movies, even when they do other movies or like different spinoffs, the origin stories of these people have already been set. So it allows you to understand, oh, this person's coming back or this person's not being introduced. Like all the Marvel movies, it's like sometimes you'll see it in credits and this is random character. But like if you read the comic books, you know that this character should be coming in kind of at this time.
And it
makes a little bit more sense. Even if someone that doesn't necessarily know Marvel movies or comic books, you can go look back. Okay, this person actually already existed.
Right.
But then it kind of, for the most part, would make sense in earlier movies. Like, okay, this person was there. It could have been there all along because of this, but they were in this other galaxy or whatever. But Fast and Furious, it's like you said, the reshoots of Han was dead.
Right.
But then 4 years later, they realized, let's bring this fucking character back and let's just say, I don't know, it was a fucking smoke and mirrors, and he actually didn't die.
Kurt Russell was there. He was here to save you all along. He popped out of a dumpster like Oscar the Grouch, just like, I'm going to save you. Listen, we got a higher purpose for you, and you'll find out about it 10 years later.
Exactly. It's just like, that's so cheap. Or just introducing this random long-lost brother, John Cena. It's like, no one ever mentioned this, you know, at least in like sitcoms back in the day when they reintroduced or another character left, they were like, yeah, she's upstairs like sleeping or something.
9 years of somebody just sleeping. Right. Oh, never coming back up on screen.
Yeah, you just missed her. She just left. You know, she's at summer camp or something.
She's in college.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The little girl from Family Matters. But like,
oh, yeah. You know, oof. Poor little girl from Family Matters got Urkeled out of existence.
Exactly. So, you know, you can't just bring John Cena in out of nowhere just because you want another big character. But I think I would assume, and I'm not a movie exec, but I think it's more suited for international audiences. They just want to see explosions and like Americana. So they don't really give a fuck. But
yeah,
I don't really, it was kind of annoying to me.
Well, I think that's part of the reason why. So like F8, I'm not even going to even try to call it the right name. The eighth movie in the Fast and the Furious franchise starts out in Cuba, which has a huge classic car culture
because
they were embargoed by the US. And so they only have old cars. But seeing that tickles all the Americana fancies of international audiences because you get to see all these, you know, classic cars, and these people have really taken the time to, you know, maintain them and keep them as, you know, pristine and as good working condition as possible. So yeah, of course you get to see, you love all seeing all that cool stuff.
Yeah.
But in this movie, it does sort of the opposite, where it's like you have, there's a lot of like military vehicles that are showing up. You've got your Jeeps, your tanks. It's not really about the actual car. It's really not about the cars anymore.
No.
Even a rocket car is still not a car. It's a spaceship.
Do you remember when the Transformer movie came out and they showed the Bumblebee, the Camaro?
Yeah.
And how like cool that was. Oh, everybody wanted a fucking Camaro.
Oh, yeah.
After that movie. I feel like we used to get that similar kind of feel with Fast and Furious cars, like the Super. Like, oh, that's a 90s Super is like super dope and that's cool. Or like a Nissan Skyline or whatever it is. But now, like, I can't go get a fucking army tank, dog. Like,
no. Dude, I can't get... I mean, I don't want to get a tank. I can't get any of that stuff.
Not in L.A.
I don't even want to try to.
Yeah.
I think that if they... I mean, I watched Tokyo Drift earlier this year. And, like, even the cars in Tokyo Drift... Not my kind of car that I would want to own. Uh-huh. But when I watched that movie, I was like, oh, yeah, these cars are fucking cool, man. Yeah. Right. They get it. And I don't feel that watching F9.
We used to get, back when I was a kid, me and my brother would have these little RC cars from Radio Shack. And they would have these little skins you could put over like the base of the car. They're called X-Mods. You kind of get like the Fast and Furious cars on the X-Mods or whatever.
Were these the big full-size RCs or the little, the zip-zaps, the tiny ones?
They were like maybe the size of an iPhone. They were like about this size, a little bit bigger than this. They were like medium.
Okay.
And you get like a racetrack the size of this room, like put in the garage or whatever.
Sure,
but you could get the Fast and Furious kind of cars. So like from a merchandise standpoint, you know, you could watch the movie. Then as a kid, you could actually, I like cars. Let me get the Supra or whatever.
Right.
But like I said, there's some of these cars are so out of just the fucking world. I can't go get like a supercar.
Right.
And drive it or an RC of that random supercar.
Right. I feel like I can't even get like Dom Toretto's Challenger the way that
right,
I could anymore.
Right. Exactly.
It's like all of that stuff, in going so far over the top, you've left everything else that people that at least the lay people like us liked about the franchise sort of in the dust.
Right.
And, you know, just having those tiny beats of action in there to just enough to keep us coming back to the fucking water bottle.
Just slake
our thirst. It's like, it's kind of a cheap way to keep audiences coming back to you in America. But if you're also like, if you have the eye on the international audience, I guess you can kind of say fuck American audiences a little bit.
I think that's what they're doing. I mean, I think a lot of these big, huge, even the Marvel movies to a degree are just kind of like, bro, we're really here for the international audience. Cause they like it so much.
That's fair. I guess that's fair. I mean, I don't like it though. Yeah. I do wish that like, I mean, I think that the new style of action movies that are coming out now with your, you know, the sort of like the now John Wick extended universe, and that style, you know, very like hand to hand combat and gun fu and all that kind of stuff that was sort of popular in the early 2000s and then kind of fell away. Mm-hmm. Now the fact that it's coming back and you have even ways of flipping that genre with like Nobody.
Right. I love that movie.
I saw that movie. I saw the movie for the first time a couple weeks ago. I was like, this is great.
Yeah.
I think it's the right way to do an action comedy where it makes sense, but you don't have to have a billion different characters and watch everything that they're doing. And the whole comic relief is just like Tyrese and Ludacris screaming.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, hell no. Oh, yeah. Here we go. Like this very basic black tropes. Like, oh, hell no. I don't, what the hell's going on? It's like, okay, enough. Like we get it. Like, oh, black people don't go to space. Oh, this is crazy. Like, really? You know, is that the depth of, but as you know, to international audience, that's all they fucking see. Americans is like, you know, these different little tropes.
It's yeah. Like, it's easy for an international audience to go like, wow, black Americans must hate space.
Right, exactly.
Huh.
We just can't go up there. We don't hate it. You
know? Yeah. I feel like, you know, as somebody who loves action movies.
Yeah.
Is this, do you feel like we're sort of getting into a time when maybe the Fast and the Furious franchise is not going to be the thing that takes hold? Like, do you feel like it's going to sort of just kind of exist and like go on forever while people who are actually action fans go to the more like the Nobodies, the John Wicks of the world?
I think so, because those movies are, you know, I think back in the day, some of those movies were just very just like unrealistic and American, and I'm Bruce Willis, and I'm just in. But whereas the John Wicks of the world are the Nobodies, they're shot well. A lot of the actors are really like hand to hand. They're doing like actual moves. The guns are like cool. I remember, some of these old movies, they'd have one gun, they wouldn't reload, and they're shooting like 60 times off the one gun. You know, that's like the basic. What the fuck? Whereas now you see the movies that reload and they're all this 17 shots and they're changing guns and like hand to hand stuff. So it's a little bit more. They're getting shot. Like, oh, I'm kind of fucked up kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not just like I'm one guy with six revolver bullets and I'm going to take out eight men. You know, like it's like that doesn't really happen as much anymore.
Dude, I appreciate a movie where like you see the hero shower because right, he's like, oh, I'm really fucked up. I got all this blood I got to deal with. Oh, shit, man. I like that. I don't. Right. I don't like a movie where everybody's sort of like magically okay. Yeah, still,
exactly.
And even the part in this movie, I was talking to my producer Ben about this. The part where they're in, I think they talk about it before they go into space, but where Tyrese and Ludacris, and I think it's Tyrese who starts this off, where he's like, I think we might be invincible. I think we might be unable to die.
Right, 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 right. Because there was multiple times where he almost got fucked up and he didn't, and he was just like. Yeah.
I think that like that sort of winking at the audience, I get why you're doing it, but it just feels like it's the easiest choice to make.
Right.
And I feel like a franchise that has the potential to like go in cool directions like Hobbs and Shaw.
Right.
Where, you know, you really do lean into like the people who should be the coolest, most violent killers of everybody who have to like hate each other, have to team up. That seems fun.
Yeah.
But it seems like that's too, it's harder to make and it's not as easy to make and it's not as easy of a choice to make for the studio to be like, all right, yeah, let's send him to space this time.
Like, how does nobody really die?
People should die.
Like, there should be some, like, a couple of deaths. Really, one or two deaths per movie. Every time somebody's died, I guess the only person that actually died was the Wonder Woman chick. What's her name?
Gal Gadot?
Yeah, she died in like an earlier, I think it was 7 or 8 or something.
She was in a Fast and Furious movie?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think she like got introduced in like 3 or 4, and then she died like a couple of movies later.
Okay.
But like other than that, everyone else has been brought back. So it's like, fuck, can someone just be dead, you know?
The only people shouldn't die in this movie only because they died in real life.
Right, exactly. That's the only reason they would have. And they, even in this movie, they brought back this teaser of Paul Walker driving up the driveway. So he didn't even really fucking die. It's like,
man,
he's dead. He's dead. Let the man die.
Like, no, he's babysitting the kids. Right. That's what he's doing.
He's at the store, the Whole Foods the whole time, or they're just, in, you know. Whatever.
Dude, the checkout line was crazy. I'm so sorry. I finally got all this organic chicken, though.
I would have helped up in Irwan for the past 6 hours.
Man, they had a problem making my green juice.
But I wasn't going to fucking leave until they made it.
Mm-mm. I need that so I can stay alive forever exactly. in these movies.
Right. It's invincible green juice. And like, look at all the, some of the favorite, like TV movies or whatever, you know, even, TV or movies we've watched, like the Wire or whatever.
Right.
People die.
Yeah.
You know, or Game of Thrones, whatever. People die.
It's okay, like, for people to die.
And it makes you realize, like, oh shit, for these later seasons, people aren't invincibles. Like this scene where it's dangerous and something's happening, this person really could die. Whereas when I watch Fast and Furious, I'm pretty sure there's no one's going to die. So even the action scenes or whatever, I'm not really that like suspenseful. Oh, is The Rock going to pass away?
And right.
He's not going to pass away.
No. God. Okay. Hear me out, Justin Lin. Kill people in the next Fast and Furious movie, and I think we'll be okay.
The Rock.
Kill The Rock and kill Vin Diesel.
Yes.
Let them like punch each other to death or something.
That'll be great.
Or they should die in a car crash.
Together, yeah.
Together. But they sacrifice themselves. You can do an honorable version of it.
100%.
But that's what I hope.
Or
happens.
Just them at a stoplight and someone just hits the intersection. Between scenes is like not action based. I'm like, yes, let's droom.
Yeah. And then it becomes like, it really becomes meta because then they're showing like the, oh, fuck, oh, the footage. Oh, no. And it takes years to make because they have to get it unsealed from the court.
Exactly.
Right. Oh, my God. Well, listen, Danny, I'm digging talking about this movie, but as we talked about beforehand, my laptop is about to die.
Oh, yeah. Shit. Okay.
So, and this is about as long as an episode would go anyway. So, okay. Hey, great way to wrap it up. Nice. Where can the listeners find you and your stuff? You got a podcast other people should listen to.
Yeah, it's a 9 to 5 podcast on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher. Follow me on social media at Follow Sellers, Twitter and Instagram. All my links, upcoming shows, stand-up. Mm-hmm. Anything that I'm doing in the world is in my bios.
And Danny is a super funny comic. So if you're in LA, you should definitely go check him out if you see him on a lineup anywhere. Great, great dude. Super funny. And a great time talking to you about F9. What a time.
Go Elon.
Go Elon. Elon, fight never dies.
Yeah,
What's that? Ah,
fighting,
whatever.
Fighting Christians.
Fighting Christians, I think. If you like me, you can follow me at Diet J on Twitter and Instagram, jlikecomedy.com for show dates. And if you like the podcast, consider supporting on Patreon. You get access to bonus episodes and my film library and all that stuff. All right. This has been Blockbusting. Go see something good for a change.